This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Four to his left.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw somebody breaking down the shot chart. Did not look good.
The opposite of Mark Sears.
This is the Joe Gaither Show. On BamaCentral.com.
Yeah. Boom. You did get the one, didn't you?
I did. I forgot I actually ended the studio.
Yeah, you're good. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today on this Friday? It is Friday, June 20th. What do we got? Your computer, Mason Woods. Yep, you're all good. It's all good. Let's do that. Welcome in. It's Friday, June 20th, and we are live in the Dairy Daniel State Farm Studios. Just off McFarland Boulevard. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You can check us out on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Bama Central Facebook page. You're on my own social media machines at Joe Gaither 6, or you're finding us listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. We appreciate everybody at Circle Bubble BUBBL as you guys are hanging out with us on a Friday. It is, one more week left in June. It is going to be a huge recruiting weekend. Mason Woods is going to be getting into that on our All Things Bama edition of this week's episode. That wasn't the right way to say that. On this week's episode of All Things Bama, please subscribe to All Things Bama. That's Mason's podcast that he's running for us at Bama Central. We kind of pick up all the trash that we left on the table for the week. If you need an extra 30, 40 minutes of us, you can hear the roles flipped on All Things Bama. We're going to have Will Miller join us here in just a little bit. Real WB Miller is going to join us talking Alabama baseball's offseason. I've got two random topics. One football, one Alabama athletics topic that we want to bring to the table. And you're obviously welcome to jump in on the comment section at Joe Gaither 6, at MA Woods _, at Bama Central. Leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint. I love the complaints the most. And so we will deal with them right there. You can always leave us. Oh, shoot. Dax did text me and that he has voicemail in the tank. I gotta pull that up here in just a second as Mason kind of lets us know how he's doing today. But we got a voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800, if you want to be a part of the show. And with that, what are we going to do, Mason Woods? I want to have a small, not discussion on revenue sharing, but just get hypothetical. I want to take Katie Windham's. Maybe I didn't. My last one is from Robert, 116. So maybe Dax did not leave me one. He did text me that there was a defensive back voicemail, but I don't see it in our tank. That's okay. Want to talk NIL? No, I want to talk rev share. I want to talk rev share and talk a small hypothetical because we all know football and basketball are going to get the money. Sure. But we want to play a little game like they are not. And then I want to talk about what is success for Kalen DeBoer in year number two right here, 2025. So with that, follow Mason Woods at MA Woods_. We'll talk about those two topics and then we'll bring on Will Miller. Mason Woods, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Doing good. You know, we'll get into it on, you know, like you said, we'll get into maybe the recruiting a little bit more on All Things Bama, but some tough news for Alabama this week a little bit, you know, just to tease it some. He still did land Jet Tamala, and we can talk about his Elite 11 performance some. You know, I thought that, I think all of the clips that you've seen from that this week have been pretty impressive. You know, as we reported on this show, the kid has an absolute cannon for an arm. It's just whether or not he's going to be able to adjust to the speed of college football, I think, is going to be his biggest hurdle.
Yep.
But I'm encouraged by what I've seen at the Elite 11 from him. I do think he's going to turn out to be a solid quarterback prospect for Alabama. But yeah, it was a good day yesterday. Relatively busy for me. You know, not a ton of commitments happening, but some
sincere
players not committing to Alabama. Sure.
Yeah, Alabama missing out on three big names really yesterday. I guess the biggest name for me was Brandon Arrington. We already knew he was already ruled Alabama out on what, Monday.
Yeah.
So we addressed that already. He decided that he is committing with Texas A&M. And best of luck to you, sir. We'll talk about that and more on the All Things Bama podcast. So find that wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to this show, you can probably find All Things Bama. So I have one hypothetical, and then I want to lead into a football discussion, and we will get Will's talks on this, and I'm sure Will's answers are going to be really easy. But let's say you're Greg Byrne, and you've got this $20.5 million. Obviously, look, we already decided, and we talked about it yesterday, football, most of the money, men's basketball, most of the money, and then trickle-down effect after that based on their revenue earnings from the prior year. And really all time per se. But let's just say, let's hypothetically pretend you cannot give a dime to men's football. You cannot give a dime to men's basketball, but you got to use it all somewhere else. Where are you going to use the money? Obviously, look, this is a total silly game because football, we roughly estimated 15 to 16 million of the 20 and a half. Men's basketball, 2 to 3 to 4 million of the 20.5, and then the rest of the sports getting a little something else down the track. It's going to be what did he say? Women's basketball, baseball, softball, and gymnastics were the other sports that are going to get percentages of the rev share. And Greg Byrne, I think you know, obviously, look, they've run the business analysis, and this is a total hypothetical. But in this hypothetical, I think there's another sport that you should look at to give a lot of money to. Mason Woods, you're Greg Byrne. You cannot give football or men's basketball the $20.5 million. What are you doing with your pie?
I think baseball or softball are the first two that kind of jump right in my head. I would love to see both of the, you know, softball, obviously we have seen them competing for national championships, but I would love to see them like, okay, yeah, sure. It's just no doubt we have the best roster in college softball, basically like Texas Tech this past season. You know, I think it'd be cool to see Alabama in a similar situation to be able to do some things like that. And the same goes for baseball. Basically, we haven't seen quite the level of success with softball in baseball, at least not that I've really seen. But you know, I think under Rob Vaughn, you're kind of reaching a higher level than we have seen from Bama baseball, especially recently. So, you know, inject them with several millions of dollars, I think that would do wonders for the program. So, you know, I'd like to see both of those. I think if it was me, I'd probably just split it right down the middle and give it to both of them and just say, yeah, all right, whoever wins your championship, then you can have 75% next year.
Diamond dominance is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Shoot. I like that. You are playing a sport that's on national TV, pretty much in a standalone time slot. Sure. At the end of the athletic academic calendar year, College World Series is pretty much men's and women's College World Series pretty much dominate the college athletic sphere. We're going to get the men's College World Series final started tonight. The Chanticleers, Coastal Carolina, and LSU will square off against one another. Yeah, we're hoping. I'm hoping for LSU sadness, to be honest with you.
Me too. I think, yeah, just with how big baseball is in the SEC, especially, it would just be very satisfying as well to dominate in football, basketball. Oh, and now baseball too. That would be. I mean, I guess in this situation, maybe football and basketball are falling off a cliff because they have no money. But you know, we'll just assume that they keep up their success. That would be quite satisfying on the, especially in the Twitter sphere of not being able to really see anyone say anything.
Been wrestling with my microphone arm, and I finally got it to where I wanted it. It's been too low, and I'm talking down into it. No, all right. I like that answer. I like that answer. I'm only gonna disagree for this. I mean, I think that's a great answer. But what if you gave a lot of the money to the golf program, men's golf and women's golf? Women's golf national champions. Men's golf have both programs have a national championship under their belt. And the reason I'm going golf is because, okay, Joe likes golf. I mean, we'll just say that. Joe's terrible at golf. We'll own that as well. But I think you can go a really long way with a little bit of money. You break off $10 million for the men's golf program. You break, 60-40 And obviously, in this hypothetical world, these other programs don't exist. But you dump a bunch of money mm-hmm. into your golf program. How many Nick Dunlaps can you recruit?
I mean, Alabama becomes the Live Golf of college golf. You
do it.
That'd be great.
Do it.
You just got more money than everybody else. We're outbidding everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, shoot, bring it, man. Let's just pull up this golf roster here.
I think that's really smart.
One, two, three, four, five.
Not something that many people probably even considered, myself included, and did not even think about golf. But the payoff there, like you said, is very, very high for, you know, success on at the professional level and things. You know, we look at Justin Thomas now. He has donated a whole lot of money back to this university and has given it a lot of exposure and things like that. So, you know, it's a big plus for Alabama.
Men's golf program has 10 guys on the roster right now. I should have went to the women's golf program as well when I counted this. 2, 4, 6, 7. Seven ladies on the roster as you currently look at RollTide.com for the women's team. And so you split it, you'd be like, hey, $1 million for everybody. You're at $17 million, and then you can take that, what, 3.5, and divide it up in hypothetical women's basketball, softball, baseball, that sort of thing. Because look, we're just playing a game here. We're just playing a game about talking about revenue sharing and ways to split it up. Do you want to have a little more fun mixing it up with Will Miller and just bring him in on this since we're at time? Yeah. And I've got another topic, and this just seems perfect. All right.
Bring him on.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I imagine we know what Will's answer will be.
Here. Oh, yeah, but I want to hear him say it. I want to hear him say it. You follow Will Miller at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine. He is the lead baseball writer for Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Woken up early for us this morning. Good morning, Will Miller. How are we doing?
Morning, guys. I'm good. How about y'all?
Oh, very good. Will Miller will throw this hypothetical right at you. You are Greg Byrne, and football and men's basketball does not exist in this world. Sad world that would be, but they don't exist, and you have the $20.5 million. How are you dividing up your revenue sharing?
I'm fully funding 34 baseball scholarships. I mean,
elaborate. Give us
in the least amount of surprising news.
I mean, this program for so long has been dealing with this, as Auburn has too, and obviously how they go about constructing rosters and everything else has been different. But now they've got the ability these two teams do that are in a non-lottery state, a rare non-lottery state, the only SEC teams that are hamstrung by this, to fully fund scholarships for the roster spots. I doubt Alabama does it. I would imagine the number they fund is around 20, maybe low 20s at the most. Not sure how many Auburn's going to fund, but if you want to be competitive, more competitive, and Alabama's obviously at this point an NCAA tournament caliber program, fringe hosting team this past year. Auburn's been to Omaha twice in the past decade. It's not that, you know, the product is not competitive, but if you want to be keeping pace with the top shelf programs in the SEC, which is very difficult, these are some of the things that you'd have to do. Other sports, similar boat, you know, just mainly these equivalency sports that now you can upgrade, so to speak, the scholarship allotment. You go in that direction as well. Gymnastics has gone up from 12 to 20 without football and basketball. I'd imagine you could have both in that when you can fully fund baseball and gymnastics, because the truth of the matter is, take your pick. You know, lots of different sports out there that this could apply to, but that's one of the first decisions that I would probably make, and I'm sure that it would have been more shocking if I had said something else.
Yeah, but I think Will's take, I mean, you can have the same argument for men's golf that I just had. You get yourself a face of the league. Like, let's just Tim Anderson wasn't going to come to Alabama, just different circumstances, and went to a small community college before he get into the pros. But if you can get a guy that becomes, you know, oh, he's a triple crown winner in baseball, he went to Alabama, I wonder what the ROI is on that. I mean, I don't have any numbers. I don't have any real hard data on that. But you get yourself an MLB All-Star type player. I mean, someone who plays well at Alabama and then becomes an MLB All-Star, and then you can watch. Because some of us only watch baseball and every blue moon. But if you get a guy who ends up on this is an MLB The Show cover type athlete, what's the ROI like that, Will, for the program and for the university?
It's a good question, and I think the only way to find out is to get those guys on campus, is to get those guys involved in the program, being ambassadors for the program after their
Will, so let me see, and I'll tell you.
I mean, my feeling is Alabama has certainly had, you know, those caliber of players. I mean, Alabama's turned out major league players time and time again, good major league players, long tenured major league players. It stuns me that David Robertson has not been signed yet. Absolutely ridiculous. Alex Anthopoulos, what are you doing? But rant aside, I mean, I think that it's big for some of these programs that maybe haven't been as much in the spotlight at some schools. And certain schools, it's going to depend on what that school is. Like, you know, Southern Miss baseball is not going to have a problem with exposure in the campus community, because that's, you know, one of their main sports. Other places are different. Like, you know, Boston College is really good in hockey, and obviously a lot of programs in this part of the country don't even have varsity hockey teams. So it's different from place to place. But I think that those more marketable athletes can really transcend just their individual sport. I mean, I brought up gymnastics. You look at Libby Dunn at LSU.
You throw $3 million at a Libby Dunn type athlete, Suni Lee type athlete. What's that do to your gymnastics program and really just everything on campus?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge because it provides, and I think when you see somebody
Biore at that point,
I think when you see somebody like that, whatever they compete in, it's bringing attention to your whole university, you know, your whole university, your whole program. I mean, you see St. Peter's go to the Elite Eight, and all of a sudden, a bunch of people are applying to go to school in the middle of nowhere in New Jersey, and I mean, that's what some of those things can do for you. And obviously, you know, Doug Eddard is not Libby Dunn, but it's something that can really change a whole university and perception of a whole university, depending on who it is.
I want to stick with the baseball topic and maybe get into maybe a bit of a more serious topic. Not serious, that's probably the wrong word, but a more real topic.
Do we do serious?
More real topics. Some things that are actually happening, moving away from hypotheticals. Alabama's been pretty active in the transfer portal for the baseball team so far this offseason. I just want to ask you, really, any of those guys or which of those guys stick out to you the most? Which do you think will be the, you know, kind of biggest difference makers for next year's team, if any at all?
All SEC players. All of them, all SEC.
First team or second team, Joe?
First team, of course.
Well, you've seen this.
Consider the second team around here.
Mm-mm.
You've seen this program hit the bullpen hard. And like particularly the most recent addition, Evan Steckmesser from Samford. I mean, veteran lefty with motion on his pitches. I think that's
sounds like a first team all SEC reliever.
That's
to
a
me.
Really big get. And this coaching staff knows what this team needs, but the bullpen is a big need. And I mean, you've got like six or seven players in the incoming transfer class, and four of them are relief pitchers. So you've seen what priorities and premiums the coaching staff has placed in the early going. And it's now that the actual season is winding down with LSU and Coastal in the College World Series final, which that's going to be great, by the way.
We'll talk about that in a second. You don't have to. We'll give you time to elaborate.
That's going to be awesome. But you've seen what this coaching staff has prioritized. And I think it's the right move because you see so many names in the bullpen that are leaving. You got Braylon Myers out of eligibility, Carson Osmer out of eligibility, who, you know, is the best closer in the country by save numbers, led the country in saves, set a single season program record in saves. You're going to need a new closer really for the third straight year. And you're going to have guys like Steckmesser, the kid from Texas State's probably going to be in that conversation as well. I mean, the incumbent options are there. There's a couple of them, but I think that you're probably going to see a newcomer get the closer role again. So they're thinking more ahead to how this is going to look for next February. And you know, they got, I mean, the whole right side of the infield, you're going to have to replace. You had pretty much three regular starters over there in Hodo, Norton, and Staten, and they're all gone now too. So you got a couple of infielders there in the portal as well, South Alabama, Purdue, Fort Wayne, which shut their program down, their baseball and softball programs down. So Justin Osterhaus coming to Alabama. So, I mean, and a lot of the, you know, a lot of these players are going to be mid-major transfers. You don't exactly know how they're going to do against the higher levels of college baseball. And the SEC is the highest level of college baseball. But you look at these guys' skill sets and you see fits and you see the potential for them to make an impact. But the bullpen additions are what stick out to me the most so far, not just because of how many of them there are, but because of the experience level. You know, they've done really good work, see a lot of strikeouts across that group. Steckmesser's got a really good strikeout walk ratio. And yeah, so that's what's impressed me so far about this class, is seeing the need going after it. And at this point, I mean, it's not even technically the official offseason yet, if you really want to get down to it, and Alabama's already kind of hit it hard.
What I'm hearing just in my ear, Steckmesser, Osterhaus. We're going after some big time good mouthful names in the transfer portal. Will we go after, will the Crimson Tide go after a really easy name to say, and someone who's very, very familiar to the team? You put it up in 5 days ago for your Just a Minute. Cade Woods. Is there a reunion in store for Alabama and Cade Woods, or have I missed him already committing somewhere?
It makes a ton of sense. And it made little sense for him to leave. That was one that maybe surprised some people. And he was, you know, one of those players that was close with the previous coaching staff. So that was part of what went into his decision to go somewhere else. And obviously it's, you know, he went to LSU and they were kind of, and they're going to be one of those hot portal teams every year, going to be one of the premier destinations. Nothing you can do about it. You know, they've got, and I mean, not even just money. I mean, they've got one of the best coaches in the sport. They've got one of the best stadiums, atmospheres in the sport, one of the best teams. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you want to go there if you could get a scholarship? But they didn't use him, and they didn't use him for 2 years, and it's basically a couple of lost seasons, more or less. I put it in my article, like he cost himself a lot of work when he decided to bolt. And part of that's where he went. You know, he could have gone somewhere else and pitched a lot more. But again, that's an attractive destination, and I don't blame the kid. But there's a variety of different spots he could fit into, depending on how the rest of this pitching staff takes shape. And I mean, I do think that it makes sense for him to come back. I don't know that he will. I was, you know, some of that's just speculating in terms of what if he did. Sure. But a lot of the fan base has kind of had some negative things maybe to say.
I know, well, you go to LSU.
A couple people have gotten in Twitter arguments. Yeah.
He's a traitor.
Yeah, a couple people have gotten into Twitter arguments with Cade's mom over the last couple of years. And, I mean, I'm sure that's – I mean, that's – I'm not one of them. That's awkward for those people. That's not awkward for me.
Yeah, I'm going to be on mom's side on that one.
Don't argue with players' parents. Let's just put that out there. They know more about the situation than you.
Yep.
They're obviously going to be a little more biased towards their sons and daughters. Just leave them alone.
Yeah, but aside from that, you know, I think, and I don't know if the coaching staff will take a flyer on him or not, but he was one of the best relievers on the 2023 team. You look at his ERA, and it's not super flashy, but he was really good, throws the ball hard, and I mean, he's another guy that kind of fits the profile of what this coaching staff has gone after in terms of repertoire. He's going to strike a lot of people out. And, yeah, I mean, I think it would – I don't really know the inner workings of how this kid – this process has gone for the last 2 years. You know, if it was 2 years ago, I would have said, or if it was last year, even if he decided to transfer out after last year, I would have said probably a great fit for him to come back. But that's one that you just kind of have to see where the chips fall.
All right, Will, let's wrap up baseball by landing on the College World Series Championship Series. The final starts tonight, 6 o'clock on the ESPN Family of Networks. LSU is the favorite on the money line as I'm looking right here. Just what do we make of it? What do we make of the ending? We've got a massive. Did you see Arkansas blow that?
I saw them all crying about it. That was
God. You wouldn't even believe.
Go ahead.
I just saw a lot of people online really trying to like garner sympathy. It was very strange. I'm sure it was all but it was just Arkansas fans saying it. But it was just very strange the amount of posts I saw of, this is what a true team looks like. You have to feel so bad for these. And it was just like, I don't. I do not feel so bad for them. They lost their game.
Horrific. Horrific sure. way. They are, 5-3, I think it was? The bottom of the ninth inning. And they've got one out already. LSU runners on first and second. And you get a ground ball to shortstop. And you're thinking,
the best player in college baseball, by the way.
You think, double play and the game's over. You're going to the championship
series. Throws the ball to third base.
Oh, no.
What a dumb!
Oh no!
I'll say that a brain fart. A dummy, but what a brain moment! He turns and throws to third base for the single out. You get the lead.
It would have been worse if he didn't get the out.
Right, he gets the out, and then you're looking. So it's two outs now, mm-hmm. and you get a fly ball to right field, I believe, left. You're right. Yes, I'm dyslexic.
We should have just let Will do the recap. Honestly, I know he knows it play by play.
But guy does a little dive, bounces off his head, off his shoulder or something, misses it, and rolls into the outfielder and keeps going. Well, still fine.
Everything's okay.
Everything's fine. Was it to shortstop the next play or it was an infielder, right?
Second base.
Okay, thank you. I'm all dyslexic again. The opposite side of the infield gets another pop out, and the guy jumps way too early. Like he could have. You could have made the catch, but he jumps way too early, and the timing of getting it and bounces off his top of his glove into the outfield. LSU wins again.
Wow. Yeah, that's painful. I can understand why you might be a little teary-eyed after that one if you remember that Arkansas team, but I will not. I'm not going to sit here and go on some Twitter campaign to make everybody else feel sympathetic for my team as well. Except your loss, Arkansas. I'm sure you'll be back next year, probably.
Did you see the Dude Wipes billboard, Will Miller?
I did.
No.
Woo. What was it? Woo, big pooey.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you call viral marketing, Joe.
Absolutely.
I have hardly watched any of this College World Series, outside of mostly clips online I have watched. However, I will be tuning in for the final simply for the uniform matchup here.
There you go. Set us up, Will Miller, Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers against LSU.
Oh, man, 26 straight wins against the cream of the crop in the SEC. Jay Johnson faced Coastal Carolina 9 years ago for the national championship final, which we all know our friend Greg Byrne actually brought Jay Johnson on over at Arizona once upon a time. And Jay's done great things there and at LSU. Won it all, a couple of years ago. And I think this is as good of a series, as you could have got. I mean, and there are other teams that would have been a worthy matchup. But, I mean, the stories here, the history here, the two teams that are involved, Coastal being a regional host and LSU obviously always is. Coastal usually is. That's a great program. I mean, people act like this is a David versus Goliath thing. It's really not. Coastal's been a great program for a long time. The university's really invested. The product has been really consistent. LSU, the same. And you win 26 baseball games in a row. I mean, it's nearly impossible to do it. They've done it. They've looked outstanding doing it. They ended Southern Miss. It's like 18-game. Something like that, winning streak in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. Sun Belt really strong this year. They got one of the best pitchers in the entire country as LSU, is going to be in that conversation as well every year with having some of the best pitchers in the country. This is as good of a matchup, I think, as you're going to see. I'm very excited. The thing about people look at this that maybe don't watch the sport – and they look at Coastal Carolina versus LSU, and they think it's a mid-major team against LSU. It's a wash. It's not a wash. This is very competitive. Like I said, lots of history, underlying stories that alone makes it worth switching on your TV, turning it on. I mean, and you've had really good matchups, in the past, like these Florida National Championship Series. like the Florida LSU showing a couple of years ago, something like that. That was, I don't know, Florida made it last year too, even though they shouldn't have gotten in the tournament. I mean, you see these SEC teams in this conversation every year, but teams like Coastal, you know, as good as this year's team is, they only come around every once in a while. They got, you know, the first year coach Kevin Snall, who's done a great job there replacing Gary Gilmore. I mean, I think better than anybody ever could have imagined. I don't think it's any great secret I'm rooting for Coastal, but whoever wins, and I see this going to three games, best of three series, I see it going to three games. I don't think this is just going to be one of those anticlimactic two and barbecue situations. This is going to three games. This is going to be close. This is going to be tight. I mean,
well, we got to get our money, ESPN.
Yeah, that's true, but I think they're going to do it. I mean, these two teams, like I said, are the best teams right now to be playing in this situation, and that's part of what you want out of a national championship, like which teams are playing the best right now. And obviously Coastal's playing better than anybody in the country right now, but LSU, one of the best teams out. I mean, and you expect an SEC team to be here. You maybe don't expect a Sun Belt team to be here, but at the same time, I don't think that Coastal should be surprising people. They're just that good.
So if Coastal Carolina wins, can Alabama claim a ipso facto national championship?
It's a transitive property national championship. And, you know, and they should have won the series against LSU. They absolutely blew game one with some help from the home plate umpire. But then again, the home plate umpire didn't score all those late inning runs. But they should have won that series against LSU. Zane Adams on the hill for the LSU win, and he shoved against Coastal Carolina. That was, you know, it was in February, but it was one of his best games in 2025. So, yeah, transitive property national championship. I love doing this like basketball. You look at all the, like, 350-some-odd Division I teams. You look at who's beating who. Penn State is going to, like, New Haven or something to open next year, and if New Haven wins that game, you're going to have a lot of fun college basketball circle wins. Win diagrams next
the
year.
Venn diagrams. Oh yeah,
that's great. Like the arrow to such and such beat such and such. It's going to be so random. I love doing it with basketball, but you can do it with baseball too. And it's some of the funniest stuff ever. Really, if you get into the smaller details of it.
We're hanging out with Will Miller. You find him on the Twitter machine at Real WB Miller on the Twitter machine. Lead baseball writer for Bama Central and BamaCentral.com. All right, let's give the people what they want. Let's serve the drug addict the drugs. Alabama football. Let's move into football and talk about that. Oh, we're going to talk recruiting, Will Miller, on all things Bama. So let's save all of that. I know you're all up on every five-star that's coming to town this weekend. So we'll hold your expertise on that. I want to ask you to define something. And Mason, you get to define it, and I'll go last. Just hypothetical, perusing the message board, you know, what's the easiest way to do this? Define Kalen DeBoer's second season is successful if
Alabama wins a college football playoff game, and ideally two. He's got a lot to prove after last year. They had some bad losses, and I don't think they would lose those games again if they played twice, and lots of changes and new staff, new system, getting acquainted with the program was never going to be an overnight thing, never going to be necessarily the easiest thing in the world. And there were a lot of difficulties that emerged on and off the field from that, you know, some key guys transferring, obviously, but really just ugly losses that you shouldn't have lost. And would have been a playoff team last year if you didn't lose that Oklahoma game, which I didn't think they were going to find a way to have a worse loss than Vanderbilt, but they did it. Those cannot happen this year. And if they do, maybe this conversation starts getting slanted the other way. As opposed to playoffs, you start talking about maybe the other extreme if they go 9-4 and lose to barely bowl eligible teams. But I think that this season will be – it's playoffs or bust, make the playoffs, but it is a true success if you can win a playoff game or two, and you want to be in the mix to be one of those teams that's competing for a national championship, competing for a semifinal spot, whatever the case may be. But you can't go 9-4 again. You can't lose to teams that wouldn't have made bowls if they didn't beat you, whether at home or on the road. There were some games last year that they lost that – Alabama just doesn't lose, and I don't think that anybody that has a stake in the program wants to make that a regular thing either.
Yeah, I'm in pretty much complete agreement. I think that is the right answer. A successful season for Alabama is a playoff win this year. Now, there are a lot of fans who will pound your door down saying, well, if they don't win a title, you need to fire Kalen DeBoer immediately. Those fans are wrong. A successful season
is a $50 million buyout, by the way.
Yeah, a successful season is a playoff victory. That is you should have been in the playoff last year. We'll just set it. You were right there. You know, a couple things go your way in that Oklahoma game. Maybe you are. Who knows? That Ryan Williams touchdown. I still think about that when getting called back and how
that was a disgusting momentum in that game. They didn't deserve to win that game.
They didn't. However, you were right there. You were basically in the playoff last year. I mean, you're right on the cusp of it. So I think anything less than that is certainly bad. You have to get to the playoff. I think you have to win a game. And like Will said, ideally two, or if not more.
I'm going to try to find a bar right in, not quite a half step lower, but a half step lower. Making the playoff, I think, is the success there. Now, if you make the playoff after winning an SEC championship and you lose in that second round to whoever you're playing, in New Orleans, I guess that would be your New Orleans, Dallas, Miami, and Rose Bowl, I believe, are the four this year. That'll hurt, but you'll have the SEC championship to lean on. I think making the playoff should be the goal and should be the bar. And if Kalen DeBoer can lead the program to a playoff berth, BERTH, learned that over the last 2 years. You earn a playoff berth, then any noise that you get after that, I think, is unwarranted.
I don't completely disagree.
Will, do you want to disagree?
I feel like that's a take that could go either way. You'll get some comments about that. There'll be a lot of people who are like, oh, just making it is not the standard, and it's different than when you were making it in a 4-team field. Sure. It's different when there weren't AQs involved. I mean, and again, last year missing it, I think you could have maybe had an easier time with it if you'd gotten beat by Georgia, if you'd gotten beat by LSU,
sure,
than if you got beat. And I mean, Vanderbilt wasn't a bad team last year. They were not.
They're going to run the state of Tennessee now.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, believe it. I know I do. Oklahoma was. That was. I've been watching Oklahoma football since I've been watching football, and I don't know if they'll ever field a team that bad again. Brent Venables better hope not, because he will be fired if they do. But yeah, that Navy game was pretty fun, though. I'll give them that much. That was fun to watch. It's good television whenever one of the service academies, or really you saw it with Alabama versus Vanderbilt, when a Power Four plays an option team and doesn't know what to do with themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like they put their jersey on the wrong way beforehand for like 3.5 quarters of the game. But I digress. Anyway, it's more who beat you and how, and just how poorly that they played. And they didn't play good against Tennessee either. But
offensively.
I think Kalen DeBoer was hurt that game. I'm with everybody and their mother on that one, thinking that he was hurt that game. That's what I believe wholeheartedly that he was. And I just think the way you lost the games, the way you played, that's more the sticking point than it was the fact that you didn't make the playoff, than it was the fact that you lost three games. I think that if you had told somebody Alabama was going to lose three games going into last year, they would have been shocked. Those just would have been probably some of the last – they would have probably picked Tennessee, but those other two would have been some of the last two losses that you would have picked, and that's the big problem.
Well, we'll see what happens. 71 days away from Alabama kicking off against Florida State. Cam Dewberry days away. So we'll see if the Crimson Tide can make the playoff, and we'll see if that bar is enough for the Alabama fan base to continue to support Kalen DeBoer and the program. Will, let's round it out with just one more topic here. Jet Tamala finishes up at the Elite 11 camp and having a little bit of a hard time finding the official Elite 11 rankings, but he is, ninth from the On3 rankings, and –
Yeah, I think On3 had him at 10th, and 247, I think, had him at 7th.
Okay, so the two major recruiting services were also out there doing their charting, doing their scouting, and my man makes the top 11. 20 quarterbacks are out there, so he is in the top half, we'll say that, according to the On3 scouts and the 24/7 scouts. We've been talking about him this week. The big praise for the big praise is operating under center well and operating in the intermediate passing game very, very well. Will Miller, what do you make of the commitment of Jet Tamala?
I wasn't surprised by the flip. There's been a lot of, I guess, noise, for lack of a better word, about just the program and their efforts to reach out to him and develop that relationship. And, I mean, he's a big commitment. I mean, I think this is a really good player from the tape that I've seen of him, because I watched some of his tape after he officially flipped his commitment, just to see what he's all about. And I see a guy, honestly, that doesn't really look like a high school quarterback. I've seen, I mean, Joe, you, Mason, myself, we've all seen our share of high school football in our respective time periods. I mean, I think this guy already looks like he could be a college quarterback. And that's one of the highest points of praise that I can give a recruit, is that the skill level just looks beyond his years. I mean, and it doesn't matter what level of football you're at. You know, if you're a 23-year-old rookie playing like you've been in the NFL for 10 years, you're going to do okay. And in today's market, you're going to make an obscene crap ton of money. And I don't even get to say the superlative I want to use for how much money that person's going to make.
A hooey ton.
Overarching wise, yeah, I mean, this guy's got the tools, and I think he'll be really good when he comes to Alabama. But in terms of just the fact that he did commit, on the face of it, I wasn't that surprised. Seeing articles come out about the communication between him and the program, what he thinks about the program, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, and it's funny to me that you're now going to be in that era where the last few years Alabama's had a multi-year starting quarterback, and then you're like, oh, who will be the quarterback after? It feels like it's a never-ending cycle, and maybe we're entering the next phase of that cycle for going into the 2026 season with this addition. Like after A.J. McCarron left, and there were a couple of years there, we're like, who's going to be the starting quarterback? And then, you know, after Bryce Young, obviously, who's going to be the starting quarterback? And now after Jalen Milroe, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Maybe you're in another one of those conversations next year. Who knows?
Mason Woods, do you feel better, worse, or the same about Jet Tamala and his ability as a prospect from the 3 days at Elite 11?
I think I feel a little bit better. Probably leaning closer toward about the same. I mean, yeah, because like I said, when you asked me about it yesterday, you know, I don't think this camp was really going to sway my opinion on him one way or the other. All it did was kind of just confirm what I already thought I knew about him, was like, all right, he's a pretty accurate quarterback. I do think it's impressive that, like I read and like you mentioned, one of the only guys it sounded like that was really able to successfully operate from under center, which I think is a bit of a dying breed.
Weird.
It's just a dying breed in football now. Nobody's really doing it. And I think there's a lot to be said for quarterbacks that can do it. Mm-hmm. It's an important skill set. So yeah, I'm encouraged. You know, I basically just wanted to see him not look terrible, and that's what he did. He did not do anything that I saw that was really, bad. Not a lot of bad throws or anything from what I've seen. It seems like he was pretty accurate for the most part. It seems like he was making some impressive throws all around the field. So I'm encouraged. Also, I don't remember where I saw it yesterday, but I did see someone tweeting out. He wears the exact same high school football uniform that Keelan Russell wore.
I saw that right before I jumped on this stream link.
You know, we have talked about the parallels there with his kind of meteoric rise seemingly over the last 6 weeks or so, kind of like Keelan Russell did. Now, he did not go out and absolutely tear up the Elite 11, but he had a good showing. And, he seems to be taking a kind of similar path to Keelan Russell.
All right, so we got to address one more thing before we close out the show, and that's the NBA Finals. And we're only addressing this for our friend Theo. He's going to join us on Monday.
He's about to have a crash out.
Yeah. He's going to join us on Monday. If you're not paying attention to the NBA Finals, that's okay. I watched a little bit last night, but they did just as I predicted. We're going to have a Game 7 on Sunday, Thunder and Pacers, and I know Theo has bitten every nail off of his hand and is working on the toes. He's working on the big toe first and trying to get down to the pinky toe as his Thunder. Just hilarious. I mean, now, obviously, fan takes over a little bit, but he was sitting there at 1-1. Yeah, he was sitting there at 1-1 last Monday or two Monday. Like, oh, we got this. Oh, Thunder, we got this. They got no more moves. They don't have any moves. I said, brother, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna go 2-2, and then it does go to 2-2, and he gets in here this past Monday, 5 days ago, and it's like Thunder in six. And I said, no, you're gonna be sweating on Sunday, my friend. Mason, you have a little stat on Halliburton, and I just think that all I want to say is it's gonna be fun. It's going to be fun. I did say it was going to go 7. I don't really. Let's decide. Are we pulling for Theo's happiness or heartbreak?
Theo's a Thunder fan.
Big time.
How does that happen? Isn't he a New York guy?
A lot of people are curious. I'm one of them.
I'd like to know the origin of that. I could see how maybe given the timeline, maybe he just grew up a Kevin Durant fan, and that makes sense.
If I was guessing, that would be my guess, is Kevin Durant.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there that maybe he was just a KD fan. I mean, who wasn't a big KD fan? Right.
Really went to the Warriors. Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah. Come out and play.
It's okay. I still love Kevin Durant. Nobody does it like KD. The best on Twitter. One of the best on the court we've ever seen. I love Kevin Durant.
Oh, the greatest thing ever on Twitter.
He'll never make me hate him.
The greatest thing on Twitter in sports history was when Seth Curry, I can't remember when it was, somebody held like a Twitter space. It attracted like 100,000 people. It was Kevin Durant is not top 5. And then you just see a screenshot and it's Kevin Durant is speaking.
Funniest thing that ever. Man is pure basketball. Like, there's nothing Kevin Durant loves more than the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes sense probably why he grew up with Thunder fans. Yeah. This is going to sound mean, but I will always root for heartbreak. It's just so funny to watch people's favorite teams lose. You know, I would hope that people would root against me if the Titans find themselves in a good situation this year. You know, I would hope that they have the same sentiment towards me, because it is ultimately very funny to watch people lose. It's just funnier to watch people lose than it is joyous to watch them win a lot of time. And there's no real stakes here. It's not like nobody's job is on the line for this. This is just us as fans. We can all make fun of each other.
Looks like the
Mason
opening
was
line
drinking the Haterade this morning. I don't know. I mean, the memes aside, are the Pacers using devil magic? Who can be sure? I'm not unconvinced that they are.
You saw Pascal Siakam's eyes roll in the back of his head before the game started. He's channeling energies.
I'm also just rooting for the Pacers.
Insane. Very on brand for this series. It's been a great series of basketball. The Thunder would already have it if they had not blown game one. I'd like to add 15-point lead in the fourth quarter game one. They blow it. Maybe because of the Pacers using devil magic. You just never know. But, Halliburton is so good. Siakam's done a great job for the Pacers. It's a team that, they're being talked about as an underdog, but honestly, you get to this point, it's like Coastal in the baseball. You get to this point, you're just good. You're not sneaking up on anybody at this point. And the Thunder, I thought, were going to win this series in 5 games initially at the most. Game one flipped my perception a lot. And, I don't know what's going to happen. I will predict that the Thunder gets it done on home floor, but not by much, and it's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest NBA guy, but I just don't really like this Thunder team that much. And maybe that's not a hot take. Maybe a lot of people feel the same way. I don't the whole, like, everybody gather around Shea when we do our interviews and then giggle and laugh. It's just, they have worn thin. The Thunder have worn thin on me. I'm definitely rooting for the Pacers in this series. I like Tyrese Halliburton. I like Pascal Siakam. I'm very indifferent about a lot of the players on the Thunder.
Siakam is like the exact kind of player that I fall in love with.
Yeah.
Long,
just like,
just long and rangy, good defender, underrated on offense. You know, he's not always going to be, I'm a big fan of his. Thunder, 8.5-point favorite on Sunday, 7:00. So we can keep up with Theo Fernandez on ABC, 7:00. So we'll hear from him on Monday. We'll try to either poke him enough to where he cries on the show or just leave him a lot of space to actually,
He's got to open it up and let him either vent or celebrate for the first like 10 minutes.
CEO's been known to drop a four-letter word on this show before that I have had to either bleep out or just let it go. So that might be a day for Theo where we try to poke him to the point of tears or let him just bleep all over the microphone in celebration. You have a Halliburton stat before we
get
out of here.
Yes. Oh, man, I almost forgot. Tyrese Halliburton has not made a shot from the left side of the basket in this finals.
No!
Not one.
Not a single
shot he has made going to his left.
That's not NBA Central, is it?
No. This is the shot. I'm looking at his shot chart currently. Like every single thing, shot is on the right two thirds of the court. That whole
like the Parade spray chart in baseball.
Yes, this is
third baseman for the Astros. Look up, all his home runs are to left field, and he hit exactly one to left center field in his career, and it was last week. His entire career. He's a 30-homer-a-year guy at his best. He only hits him to one side of the field.
Very wild for him to have had as much success in this. And I understand, you know, he's had a couple games, I think, where he's not quite had the scoring output he has had before. But it's just wild for this to be a tied series. Your star guy, your main player, is unable to score going to his left. And the Thunder seemingly have not been able to really capitalize on that.
Gonna be fun on Sunday. You got the College World Series starting tonight. You have Game 7 on Sunday, and man, we talked about the doldrums on Monday with Theo as Alabama's athletic calendar year ended with the NCAA track and field championships. It will really be the doldrums after because look, Florida Panthers winning hockey, so you are into
no man's land.
Yeah, exactly. We need a little wind to blow us all the way to football season. We'll get SEC Media Day. It's middle of July, so that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and that will be a lot of banter, a lot of fun. I'm starting to think about who I want to vote for, you know, first place and all SEC. Are we going? Okay, yeah. Lastly, we'll just knee jerk. Are we going Arch Manning, Lenore Sellers for our quarterbacks 1 and 2?
No,
I got to vote for somebody in July.
Putting Arch up there. Arch hasn't done anything.
Garrett Nussmeier. Right?
I'd probably go Nussmeier before I went on.
It's Nussmeier and Nussmeier in that order for me.
Yeah, I'd probably go with that as well. Now I am fully open, and it is probably going to happen that Arch Manning will be one of those by the end of the season. But I cannot give him that yet. I think it's crazy the crown that we have placed on Arch Manning already. I almost hope that he's bad just because of how much people have told me he's good.
I'm putting the crown on him. My entire all SEC ballot is going to be burnt orange.
Man, it's so weird that you're a Texas fan. It's just so strange. Like, I don't understand.
You and Mason are going to have to wrestle this one out at the New Era show at some point.
Ooh. Will, can I get you up to the next New Era wrestling show, July 12th? I'm going to be tapped in to do the ring announcing in place of Chloe Canopy. Chloe Wade is her wrestling name. So can I get you up there to heckle me in the ring as I announce New Era Wrestling Openweight Championship is going to be Alpha Alexander Lincoln against the irredeemable Aiden Andrews. Going to get you in the building.
My dad and I have All-Star Futures game tickets, and I think that's that night. But if not, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I think that's what day that is, so I don't think I'll be able to make it that day. But I will say, Joe, I must see videos of you doing the ring announcing. This must happen. They must be in my phone. I did not make these rules, but I think that's going to be an absolutely awesome time, man.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. So I encourage everybody to join us in Jasper, Alabama, Swan Gym, July 12th for the next New Era Wrestling show. We'll be putting out links all over the place if you want tickets, and you can make fun of me. I will, since we're at the end of the show and only the real ones are listening, We won't upset too many people with this. I told some people, you know, Chloe has been singing the national anthem before every event. I told them I'm going to sing the national anthem, but I'm going to do it on a knee just to generate heat.
Yeah, that'll do it, Joe. You are going to have things said to you that you have never heard before if you do that.
I don't think you're making it out of Swan Gym. I don't know that you're going to make it out of Swan Gym if that happens.
See, I don't know if I want to go.
Here's what you need to do.
People are going to swan dive into the ring to take him out.
Do I want to do straight man and just play it down the middle? Or do I want to go super like, oh, I'm a good guy or super bad guy?
No, you've got to just fully do the like all the vocal runs, you know, in the home. It just like fully like Fergie it up out there. That's what you've got to do.
I think you have one more.
I do want to ask you just before we get out of here. I have not really had the chance to talk to you about it, and it's been a little bit now since it happened. But Mirob takes down Sean O'Malley a few weekends ago, and I was disappointed to see that result. I wasn't necessarily surprised to see that result, but really just your take on that fight, what you thought about it.
Did not think he would finish him. I thought Mirob was going to win the fight because I think that there's such a gap between Mirob and all these other bantamweights. And it's a real shame that he won't fight Aljamain Sterling, because I think that's the most competitive matchup for him at 135 pounds, even though Sterling's been a featherweight now. O'Malley, and it's tough because he's kind of just running to the boogeyman. I mean, he's good. People are like, oh, O'Malley's not a superstar, and he's not. Yeah. But, O'Malley's not a draw. He probably is still a draw. He's not this, that, and the other. He's bad. He's washed. He's all these superlatives. And he's just run into his kryptonite. And it's a lot of other people's kryptonite. I think Sean O'Malley wins against most of the bantamweight division. I mean, you've got Piotr Jan coming up for another title shot. And I don't know if they'll end up doing that rematch down the line. I think if Piotr Jan wins the next fight in Abu Dhabi next month, he should be next after Corey Sandhagen for the title shot. I mean, the picture's clear now. Sean O'Malley shouldn't be in the next couple of title fights, but if he were to get, another rematch against a top contender, if it's like 18 months from now, I've got no problem with him getting another shot at the belt if he gets a win or two. I think that he's still one of the best in the division. I think he should go to 145 and rematch Aljamain Sterling, where I think he probably wins again. But Mirob, and he's going to have to make a decision on, what he wants to do, because he's going to run out of contenders, I think, sooner rather than later. He wants to be active. He wants to fight again this year. I think they'll grant that wish. I mean, he's going to end up bottlenecking himself at his own weight class. But he just outclassed Sean O'Malley. And for all this talk about new Sean O'Malley, new, straight edge is the wrong word. But, I mean, no more of this extracurricular stuff, Sean O'Malley. And ends up having one of his worst performances in the big stage. I mean, tells you more about Mirob than it does about Sean.
Yeah, that was a tough performance for Sean. I don't think there's really, like you said, there's just nothing he could do, or really anybody can do against Mirob. There's just such a gap there between him and everybody else. It was very apparent in that fight. That's all I got, though.
He's Will Miller. You follow him at A Real WB Miller. He's going to be keeping up with all the transfer portal action for Alabama baseball. He's going to be helping us with more future Alabama opponent previews for football. That's coming up next week as well. We're going to have a lot of fun over the next couple of weeks. We're trying to get to SEC Media Days so I can vote for every Texas player there is. What I'm really doing, I'm serving the Alabama rat poison. That's what we're doing. Not you, Ty Simpson. Not you, Jeremy Bernard. Not you, Ryan Williams. Give me Ryan Wingo. So we'll get out of here for the day. We appreciate everybody watching us on the Facebook page, on the Bama Central YouTube channel, everywhere that you listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. You can find us right there. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. We're about to end the show, have an episode of All Things Bama, talking recruiting. It's a huge weekend. I think I saw 15. Mason's got all 15 written down and wanting to talk about them all. We're going to talk about the three guys that spurned the Crimson Tide this week and how Alabama is going to pivot on All Things Bama. That's going to come up right now, and we hope you join us on an episode of All Things Bama. We'll be back. Will Miller, thanks for joining us this week. We will be back on Monday to hear Theo cry on the Bama, on Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.